Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the recession may have stopped a lot of development in New York, but not all, and not all development controversy. Listen to all the things going on right now. Ground is being broken today for a new commuter rail tunnel between New York and New Jersey. The Forest City Ratner Corporation has dumped Frank Gehry and his design for the Nets basketball arena. One of the main selling points of the 15-tower project is Atlantic Yards dying piece by piece. City Council votes on Wednesday on the so-called Two Trees development in Dumbo that the neighbors don't want and that would alter the view from the Brooklyn Bridge. And the long-awaited Highline Park opens later this week on Manhattan's west side on that abandoned railroad bed. In fact, that ribbon cutting may be taking place even as we speak. We may get a live report in the next couple of minutes. But change is constant in New York, so let's talk about it with WNYC development reporter Matthew Sherman. Good morning, Matthew.
Hi, Ryan.
First on Atlantic Yards, the Frank Gehry design that Mayor Bloomberg called spectacular for the proposed basketball arena for the Nets. That's been dumped?
That's been dumped, yes. It was a big selling point for everybody to say that, you know, not only were the Nets going to come to Brooklyn, but they're going to be playing in the state-of-the-art, very fancy, world-class arena designed by a really famous one of the star architects. But, you know, negotiations dragged on. Then there were actually the worst part of it was the litigation that postponed the groundbreaking of the project for a while into this recession that we're seeing. The Ratner seemed to be running out of money, running out of patience, unable really to work with an architect like Frank Gehry, who is very expensive, not just from his fees, but the construction techniques that he demands.
And from the press accounts that I read in the last couple of days, Gehry's design was dumped for a cheaper design because of the economy. Can you confirm that?
That's right. That's what they're saying. They're saying that this is not the right design for this time and place.
So is this still the project the public and the, you know, the government officials were sold by Forest City Ratner? Wasn't the Frank Gehry Stadium a central element to the selling of Atlantic Yards?
It's certainly not the project that the public was sold on, Brian. But I checked with the government agencies, the city's Economic Development Corporation and the state's Empire State Development Corporation. They both say they're still with the project. They're going to give the money that they were planning to give in terms of subsidies. And actually, if you look in the fine print between the agreement and the agreement between the government and the developer, apparently there's no mention of Frank Gehry.
Interesting. Now, there are some other economic developments here, too. I gather a new report says the stadium will lose money for the city, not be a net gain in terms of tax revenue as was previously projected. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, that's by the Independent Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan independent organization that checks the city's books. And that's true. And the big reason for that is that the cost of the arena has gone up so much that the city would be losing money once the interest on the bonds is taken out. It's sort of a complicated rationale. Basically, the project has changed to such an extent that the subsidies that the city is giving to the project have gone up so much that it erases the gains the city was hoping to make.
And yet Mayor Bloomberg still vociferously supported it just within the last few days. How come if that's going to lose money for the city?
The rationale is, well, they're working on a new cost-benefit analysis, and they think that if you include other parts of the project, the housing part of it, and a little bit of office space and such, that this will be a net gain. However, that wasn't really the perspective the city was taking 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when this deal was originally struck. They thought the arena was going to be the money-making deal, and they actually tied their subsidies to the arena.
Huh. So now they think the arena isn't going to make money, might even lose money, but there'll still be a net revenue plus for the city based on these residential and office towers.
And there are all sorts of ways to, you know, to slice the apple here. And the city, when it does its figures, may show, you know, in contrast to the Independent Budget Office, that actually the arena is going to make money.
And more. I gather the Ratner Corporation is about to ask the MTA for some kind of new concession. They're buying MTA land to build this complex. And I read they're looking to pay them $20 million at closing to take possession of the Vanderbilt Yards, rather than $100 million previously agreed to.
The MTA has said as much. They won't confirm the $20 million figure, but they did actually say that whatever money, the $100 million that Ratner promised, will be given to the MTA over a period of time with interest.
So instead of $100 million at closing, it's 20% down.
Exactly.
And then payments over time. Like the MTA can afford to give concessions to developers right now. Will this make the subway fare go up?
In and of itself, it won't. It does put a little pressure on the capital plan because the MTA was hoping to get $100 million, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, actually.
So what won't get built as quickly? Are they clear? Are they saying?
They won't say because they don't tie, you know, one piece of revenue with one project or other.
Now, over the weekend, we heard that Governor Patterson fired Marissa Lago, the head of the Empire State Development Corporation. She was a key decision maker in the Atlantic Yards approval process, or at least this agency was. Did her release have anything to do with this project?
Not that I know of. All I can say, Brian, on that is that I saw her at the hearing. This was a little more than a week ago, and she was sweating bullets. In fact, she ran through a couple bottles of water there when she was on the stand. And so it may have been that the pressure got too much for her. But then again, her decision may have had nothing to do with that.
What recourse do the opponents of Atlantic Yards still have?
Well, they still intend to ask appellate courts for the right to appeal the decisions that went against them in both an environmental review case as well as an eminent domain case. And, you know, maybe they'll get some takers on that. Maybe they hope that the threat of litigation will postpone the financing, the issuing of the bonds for this project. But otherwise, you know, Ratner says that he'll break ground September or October.
And another development controversy grows in Brooklyn under the name Two Trees. As we continue with WNYC development reporter Matthew Sherman, City Council is said to vote on this one on Wednesday. Celebrity residents of the area have been leading the public fight against this, and the view from the Brooklyn Bridge is one of the things at stake. What is Two Trees?
Two Trees is the development company set up by David Walentis, the so-called King of Dumbo. He invested, I don't know, maybe a few million dollars in the early 1980s and has just through patience and perseverance and really actually some astute urban planning strategies really made Dumbo into the neighborhood that it is today. Usually he renovates old buildings, warehouse buildings. In this case, he has a vacant piece of land or nearly vacant, underused piece of land that he wants to build a brand new building on it. And it'll be right next to the Brooklyn Bridge. There'll be a tower coming out of it that will be 17 stories. That will be about 90 to 100 feet away from the Brooklyn Bridge. And that's why neighborhood residents and historian David McCullough, who wrote a book about the Brooklyn Bridge, have come out against this.
So we'll take a closer look at the Two Trees controversy tomorrow on our program with several guests. We'll devote a whole segment to it. But if David McCullough and other well-known people in the neighborhood are against it, who's for it? Is it only the developers for it, or is there a because Atlantic Yards does have a constituency, construction unions and Acorn because of affordable housing. Is there a constituency here?
I'm sure construction unions are for this also. It means jobs to them. Walentis made a deal with the School Construction Authority to include a school, a much-needed school, in his building, and that, you know, wins a few supporters that way. The community board actually came out in favor of this, though, of several months ago. And actually, one of the local community papers, the Brooklyn paper, has come out for it as well. They've done an analysis where they walked around the neighborhood and they saw just how many views were actually going to be blocked by this tower.
And not so many. Brooklyn paper, you say it like that surprises you.
It does because, well, they came out really against Atlantic Yards, and they're the neighborhood papers, so they're more likely to be against large developments in that sort of way.
On a less contentious note, the ribbon is being cut, maybe even as we speak, for the brand new park on the High Line Rail Yards above Manhattan's west side. And also joining us now is WNYC's Arun Venugopal, who is out at that ribbon cutting. Hey, Arun, what's the scene?
Well, the scene is some celebrities and various media people are gathering right underneath the Standard Hotel, which straddles the High Line up here. It's a pretty amazing scene, I can say that. So, you can just get a great glimpse of the neighborhood around here, the Hudson River to one side, and up here you have all these natural grasses and flowers kind of sprouting amongst the railway tracks, and you see Diane von Furstenberg and Mario Batali mingling here. So it feels like it's a very exciting moment.
Let's see, are any of the celebrities opposing the Willentis Project there celebrating the, oh, never mind. Is the whole thing opening all at once?
No, this is just the first section, Brian. The second section will be open, I think, next year.
And that's going to go from where to where right now? And when can people go up and use it?
Well, this section is opening now. The second section, I do not know exactly. I don't know if they've announced a date for that. But
right.
Yeah, they have stairways from the streets up here. And it's kind of this amazing convergence between all the boutique culture here in the Manhattan district and now I guess sort of this proletarian kind of industrial structure, which is being opened up to the public. So it's an interesting kind of arc for the whole area.
Where are the stairs, Arun? Where can I access this from?
I came up the stairs at Ganzevoort and Washington, which is a few blocks beneath 14th Street. Just take a turn near Stella McCartney's boutique, and you'll find it.
Do you like it? What's it look like to you on first blush?
It's gorgeous. It's incredible. I mean, it's like I really kind of did one of those double takes. You don't do too often anymore, like where the city suddenly seems unrecognizable. It feels this hotel straddling this High Line is just amazing, kind of a feeling standing underneath it and just kind of, it's not like we're that high, we're maybe 15 or 20 feet above the street, but it really does feel pretty amazing, and you know, I think that a lot of people would be would be smart to come and visit one of these days.
How will people use this park? Can you run or bike or play there or just be mellow and take in the view?
I don't know if cyclists will be allowed up here. My sense is no. I'll learn a few more of the details soon, but basically there are these narrow walkways that go in between these large swaths of plants and grasses, and I think it's more sort of an ambling kind of a area than anything else.
Have they planted a lot of greenery up there?
Yeah, it has a very natural kind of untamed quality to it, and you have gravel and these wild-looking grasses and plants and flowers, and my sense is that they were looking to do something that was very natural to the local climate rather than something that was more sculpted and manicured.
Well, maybe in the new barter economy, you'll watch Diane von Furstenberg trade a design for a pizza from Mario Batali. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they could have all kinds of celebrities. Maybe the Food Network will have like a little outpost up here and have all kinds of possibilities. But I do think it's amazing when you think like just a few years ago you had Diller and Scofidio, who are these architects who were considered completely, I guess, avant-garde was my impression just 7 or 8 years ago. And here you have them doing these projects which are essentially, becoming like quintessential New York, the real establishment. But just these amazing, exciting kinds of projects here.
Any vendors up there? Shake Shack, hot dog carts, anything?
Not yet, but I'm sure there's heavy lobbying going on in City Hall.
Okay, no taco trucks, but a lot of new greenery to see up at the High Line Park. And as you heard, you can access it at Ganzevoort in Washington in the West Village. WNYC's Arun Venugopal at the ribbon cutting right now. Arun, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Matthew Sherman, WNYC's development reporter. Anything you want to add about High Line?
One of the just public service announcements we can give is that there really are crowds expected. That's why they're only opening the Ganzevoort Street entrance for now. Officially be open tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. So if you go, expect crowds and expect maybe even to wait in line in order to get into a park.
All right. A ribbon cutting and a groundbreaking today. The groundbreaking is for a commuter rail tunnel, an additional one, between New York and New Jersey. Where is this exactly?
This will be about at 34th Street, the equivalent of 34th Street.
Where the trains come and go now to Penn Station.
Exactly. Basically a parallel tunnel to the Amtrak tunnel, which also carries New Jersey transit trains. And that capacity, what between the Amtrak or really the New Jersey transit commuter trains, is pretty much overbooked. And about 23 trains an hour pass through the current tunnel. And so they're building another one, basically to double capacity. And it will go pretty deep all the way under the Hudson River. And when it finally makes its stop on 34th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue, 6th and 7th Avenue, excuse me, it will be about 170, 180 feet below the surface.
How will people feel the difference once this is built?
Well, I guess there will be fewer delays on the New Jersey Transit trains. They'll be able to run more trains. The reason why New Jersey Transit trains currently are so crowded is just that they don't have the capacity in the tunnel. It's not that they lack cars or anything like that.
And can this still be paid for? I gather this is an $8 billion, $9 billion project. Is the money for this already in the bank?
Almost. About two-thirds of that is coming from the New Jersey Transit and the Port Authority, which has money left over from tolls and other revenues that it generates. They're both bonding out, so they are borrowing money for this. And then the rest of it hopefully will come from the federal government.
By the way, we just got a question on our website from someone wanting to know if the High Line is handicap accessible. Do you have any idea?
There will be elevators at certain points. It's a good question. I don't know whether at this point those elevators are operable or not.
All right. A lot going on. A lot of holes in the ground around town with construction projects halted with this recession. But Atlantic Yards still hoping to break ground in September and October, despite all these changes that we heard about today from Matthew Sherman, our development correspondent. And there's the High Line, and there's the rail tunnel, and there's two trees. City Council votes on Wednesday. Interesting stuff. Matthew, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Mara on WNYC.